Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to game week 30 and beyond. My name is Joe and today I'm joined by Fantasy Football Scout writer Mark to discuss the best midfielder options to look at. Mark, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Yeah, rainy day in the northeast, but doing okay. Yes, how are you?
I'm good. We're recording a lot of these videos at the same time and I think you said before coming on air we could pretend it was a different day. So we've got to remember for the one we're doing forwards was you say it's another sunny day in the northeast, and we'll take it from there.
It's, it was better than that actually. As soon as I said that, I thought.
Yeah, I think well maybe it won't be. It's like when I do the FPL General show. He's Scotland based, so it's like a day of celebration when it's above like 14 degrees or something. Okay. So what we're going to do in this show, we're going to have a quick look at the fixtures just to remind ourselves what's coming up with the games there and who's sort of, and it's sorted by difficulty. And then we're just going to go through a list I've done of midfielders to consider. Bearing in mind, two things, the main thing I'm considering is double game weeks. We are recording as of yet, we don't know when the double game weeks are, but we do know the teams that will play twice, or in Chelsea's case, they've got two double game weeks because they've got two fixtures to rearrange there. So we are focusing on those teams. So whether they go in game week 34, 35, 36, 37, whenever they go in, you can obviously tailor that, the names that we mentioned, to the sorts of teams that you're interested in for whichever double game week occurs. So hopefully this should be sort of good to go for a number of weeks, really, for whenever you want to make those transfers as well. So just a reminder, do press that like button, helps us out, and do remember to subscribe and keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts. Okay, let's have a look at the fixtures. Now, I'm less interested, and we've said this on our goalkeeper and defender video, which I do urge you to look at as well, that I'm less interested in Villa, West Ham, Fulham, Brentford, Luton, Nottingham Forest and Burnley midfielders because they don't have a double game week scheduled. So meanwhile, I am interested, and that's who's on the screen here, Chelsea players, Burnley, Manchester United, Sheffield United and Everton, especially if they have a double game week shortly after that. Bournemouth, Everton, Crystal Palace, Luton, Manchester United, great fixtures there. These two teams are top there. Fulham, no double game week, sadly, but that's not to discount their options. Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest, Newcastle and West Ham amongst the fixtures. Meanwhile, Aston Villa, Luton, Crystal Palace, Brighton, Arsenal and Man City, although Arsenal and Man City is mainly because they play each other in game week 30. I think they will shoot up this table after game week 30. So treat that with a pinch of salt there. Arsenal have Luton at home in game week 31. Then Brighton, then Aston Villa. Good run of fixtures. City have Aston Villa, Crystal Palace and Luton following their Arsenal clash. So once again, good fixtures there. So looking at this, what are you thinking in terms of teams and in terms of potential midfielders? Because I guess a lot of it's going to be depend on what money you got and who you can fit in.
Well, firstly, I'm nervous about underestimating Fulham after a lot of people did that in the bank.
Definitely.
Sheffield United next, but some of those bench scores were very high, weren't they?
Yeah.
All completely Fulham, double-digit bench, so unlucky. The standout is, I think Cole Palmer is probably the easiest pick out there, without doubt, because he was already probably fixture-proof at that price and on penalties, and he has 11 fixtures left, which no other team has. So Cole Palmer, absolutely. Bournemouth, you could try and sort of, you could take a punt on some of the cheap, like, you know, Cliver or someone who's like a fifth midfielder, but not really. So after that, it's, well, I guess the big question this week really is around Mo Salah. We're doing a piece on Scout about Salah, how essential he is, and more importantly, who do we sacrifice for him?
Yeah.
And it's a really tough one. Because the likes of Saka and Foden and Son have all done a good job.
So, are you looking to get Salah in game week 30? And if so, who are you looking to get rid of?
Until these price rises. Oh, it's an international break and there's all these transfers happening early on.
Mad.
It's really frustrating because Foden has dropped in price and Salah has gone up and now 5 million isn't quite enough to afford that swap, which might be a blessing in disguise because I'm not entirely sure if Foden sale is that appealing. But the plan was maybe to bring Salah in this week. Now probably the plan is to roll the transfer, do it for 31 and sort of downgrade Hwang or Porro.
Gotcha. Okay, with me, I'm going to do Foden for Salah because I've got 5.5 in the bank. So even if the bizarre thing happens, Foden has a... Well, no, Foden's already gone down and it didn't affect me. So if say he gets another... If he would have to fall three times and Salah would have to rise again. So it's highly likely I would make that move. But yes, I'm a bit nervous because Foden is... Sure, he's got Arsenal, but then Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, and Luton. But it's just I captained Salah for that Brighton away game when most people went for Son, and it did me well, and I got a big rank rise there, even though it's my team Brighton, so I had to sort of stomach that. I wanted Salah to get a hat trick in a 4-3, basically, to Brighton, and so I'm hoping for exactly the same again. I want Liverpool to lose 4-3, but Salah collects the ball for his hat trick. But yeah, Brighton at home and Sheffield United at home for an attacker like Salah, he just looks an absolute must for me. And he's got a double coming up at some point.
That's it, yeah. It was already... There was the rumours on Monday, I think, that the Merseyside derby could move into a double game week 34. Well, with those two games and then a double soon after. And also, there's the Man United game in the middle. I could not believe... His record against Manchester United is extraordinary.
Yeah.
He scored so many... I'll just find what it was. I think he scored 12 times and assisted 4 from his last 8 games against them.
So that's 2 goal involvements a game on average.
It's freakish. So even that's a good fixture. So Salah.
Yeah, definitely.
As soon as possible, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely... Yeah, I agree. That Manchester United game looks great for Salah there. Okay, well, before we look too much, so we'll go into too much detail about the players, we'll put the table up as well so we can sort of go down that list. So I have sorted this vaguely by minutes per expected goal involvement. Yes, it is sorted by minutes per expected goal involvement all season there. But I have added another player And he's right at the foot of this table. So we might as well just start with him first, even though it's like at the end of the table. It's Sarabia at Wolves. And I added him after doing goals imminent video with Tom. And when Tom mentions a differential, I tend to take notice because he does the differential articles and he has very good success. He's got Semenyo and Ben White in his team. So, you know, he's good at picking these players. So he said Sarabia because Neto is out, looks like, for the whole season. Sarabia is 4.7. He's had 15 starts, 79 FPL points, which is not bad from those starts. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 190 minutes. He's got 6 assists. He's definitely got an extra game. He's got 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 attacking returns from his 15 starts, which is really good. And that's really good, isn't it? So, he's really good. I should be considering him.
For that price, yeah, that's fifth midfielder. Like, that's a £4.7 million midfielder. He's played for the likes of Paris Saint-Germain as well, so he's a top quality player who is now guaranteed game time. I think one of the things I always do when planning a wild card is look at position by position the cheapies, right, and see what their fixtures look like on either 34 or 37, because on one of those, you're going to bench boost, and it all hinges on the cheap players' fixtures, really.
Yeah.
So I think Areola, for all his troubles, I think he has Luton on one of them.
Yeah.
So that would be worth a bench boost. And yeah, Sarabia, if Wolves get double 34, for example, and you intend to bench boost 34, he's superb option because he's good for the bench boost, but he's also okay to keep on the bench the rest of the time.
Yeah. Let's go to the top of this table now. So we'll sort of go back to the top. It's Salah, unsurprisingly, is top here. He's in fact 13.1 because I did this table yesterday. He went up overnight. 15 goals, 9 assists, 24 attacking returns, 168 points. He's absolute FPL royalty, has been for a number of seasons. Everyone knows about that. Got an extra game. He created 50 chances. And he's marginally overperformed by getting on for nearly 3 goal involvements over that time. So he's got 24 goal involvements so far. We've already sort of addressed that, but it's good to see the stats. But yeah, he's a priority with those fixtures coming up, definitely, isn't he?
So for so many reasons, sort of penalties, captain potential, fixtures, he's an elite asset. He's everything. Yeah. So yeah, it's about Salah.
Meanwhile, Saka, another elite asset here, 13 goals, 11 assists, cost 27 starts. He's only marginally been overperformed by a fifth of a goal involvement. So he's bang on. He's doing exactly what he should be doing. Created 68 chances this season. Yeah. This is in particular recently he's been good because Arsenal have really sort of stepped up. But I guess for those looking to get Salah in and wondering which player to remove, if they've got Saka's not a player to remove, especially with, I'm looking at the fixtures with after play City, he's got Luton at home and then Brighton and then Aston Villa. Yeah, Saka's going nowhere for me. Are you for you?
No. That was the thing about that Salah article. It was trying to come up with pros and cons for each of these midfielder names, and it was hard to come up with any cons for Saka because he's the only midfielder to have outscored Salah. He's the top scoring midfielder in the game. He's got double digit goals and assists, penalties. Arsenal keep beating teams 5-0 and 6-0. There's no reason to get rid of him at all.
Next name is Richarlison. I'm less interested in him. I don't know whether he's going to where he's going to play. I presume up top and Son moved to the left. I don't know. And that puts me off Son slightly, certainly as a captain. So in game week 30, I prefer Salah at home to Brighton than Son at home to Luton. And I wonder if it will be the same or the reverse of the last time that happened and those two players had the exact same fixture in the reverse and Son didn't do so well and Salah did. But yeah, Richarlison's got 10 goals across his 17 starts with 3 assists. So pretty good returns there. Minutes per expected goal involvement, non-penalty every 139 minutes. He's been overperforming by getting on for nearly three goal involvements. He's only created 14 chances. I'm going to read out Son's as well because we can talk about them together. He is more expensive, obviously, 10.1, because he's had 14 goals and 8 assists, so much better there, because his 24 starts. He's created 45 chances. He's been hugely overperforming by getting on for nearly 8 goal involvements, but that's him. So you've got to look at those stats and think, well, that's just what Son does, because he scores the goals that other mere mortals cannot score. But yeah, Richarlison, Son, I've got Son in my team, but I think I've got, yeah, for a double game week, I'm happy with Son, but Richarlison perhaps not. But yeah, where do you stand on sort of, because there's a lot of choice, isn't there? There's Maddison as well. There's a lot of choice in midfielders at Tottenham.
Certainly is. I've had joy with both Son and Richarlison over the last couple of months. So big fan of both, but yeah. I do wonder if the Richarlison ship has sailed. And then Son, yeah, I mean, I'd probably want to keep him for Luton at home, despite the blank last time Luton. But yeah, sort of selling him for Salah, game week 21, does make a bit of sense. Not that Son's fixtures suddenly turn bad. I think it's West Ham, Forest, Newcastle. You could totally do it then, but if somebody has to go, his minutes per chance rate isn't quite as good as some of the other top midfielders.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that is a decision in game week 31. As you said, because no one's going to get rid of Son, I think, at home to Luton. But away to West Ham, maybe. Maybe, if they need to get Salah. Because if they haven't got Salah in game week 30 and he does well against Brighton, then they're going to definitely want him at home for Sheffield United. So that's a decision down the line there. I'll read out Madison's stats as well, because he's also in the mix if you're considering Spurs players. He's got, across his 18 starts, he's got 4 goals and 9 assists. So he's more the chance creator, marginally overperforming, and he's created 44 chances. But the next, another name here, just above, just after Son and before Maddison, is Foden, who I'm going to get rid of for Salah. You would have done without the price changes. He scored 11 goals across his 26 starts and had 7 assists. So strong returns there. His minutes per expected goal involvement non-penalty, not as strong as likes of Salah, Saka, Richarlison and Son. He'd only been marginally overperforming by nearly 4 goal involvements there. And he's created 57 chances. Yeah, he's a strong asset and they've got good fixtures from 31. But he won't probably be in my team and it's going to hurt me, isn't it?
When doing all the research, he's the number one midfielder for shots and shots on target.
Oh, God.
It's a tough one. But his big chances aren't that impressive, though. That's the thing. So, like, there's some very average names that are ahead of him for big chances. So, it depends how you see it. But then he's capable of getting a hat-trick at Brentford as well. Yeah. It's really tough. It possibly hinges on Pep Roulette, which he successfully avoided so far. But that Luton game is between the Real Madrid ones. So is it finally going to happen? It eventually happened to Alvarez and Walker. They avoided it for a while. So it really is just about that, because he's having the best season. It's his best ever FPL season. He's really stepped up. And if it was him to be sold, it would be painful. It'd be difficult to do. Yeah. I mean, it might turn out fine, of course, but be still uncomfortable clicking the button.
Next couple of names on our list here is a couple of sort of mid-price options. Diaz at Liverpool. He's actually sort of quietly been doing well. I wish I'd got him in. I could have got him in that last double game week for a hit, and I wish I had now, because I think he would have repaid me. I think he certainly repaid that hit. I think I'm very tempted to get Diaz in another double, because he's pretty nailed on. He's got 6 goals, 5 assists across his 22 starts. So it's a goal involvement every other game. So for a double game week, you're going to be assured of some points there. He's created 34 chances. 5 assists, 6 goals. Has been underperforming, if anything. So he should have got a couple more goal involvements. He does have an extra game. If Liverpool get a double game week at some point, Salah, Diaz, and the thing about Darwin Nunez, I am a bit of a convert now. I accept I'm okay with the huge volume of shots and the huge volume of misses, because I'm okay that he will score some of them. But it's just he's on eight yellows cards, so that's why Diaz interests me.
It's a fair point. Yeah. He's you just don't know what you're going to get with him, and if a ban's on its way, totally. Diaz is really, he's a strong option. If Salah can't come in somehow, a really good sort of differential.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly. If you can't get Salah in, there's always a good option that's cheaper. Brighton and Sheffield United at home. I think there's returns there for Diaz there. Next name on the list is Eze. It's going to be when Crystal Palace get a double game week, no matter who it's against, Eze is going to be a top pick for that. He's got 6 goals and 2 assists across his 15 starts. So he has been sort of curtailed by injury this season. He's been marginally underperforming by getting on for nearly 2 goal involvements. And he's created 37 chances this season. So, yeah, Crystal Palace get a double. Is Eze like a must for you?
He's not a must because there's so many other names that are on this list that would want as well. And there's only 5 spots for it, but certainly wouldn't talk somebody out of doing it because he does get the goals and he is a key player for them. He's a very solid option without doubt.
Next name is Palmer. Now, you mentioned him right at the start when we're looking at the fixtures. So these are the stats here. So this is just adds to it, really. So he's got 2 extra games. That immediately we've got to think about that. He's got 11 goals and he's on penalties. He's got 9 assists across his 19 starts. So that's over a goal involvement a game. He's created 37 chances. He's been overperforming by around 4 to 5 goal involvements, but perhaps he is an elite player now. He's just been underpriced because he was at Man City, of course. He would certainly be more if he was being priced up now. He'd be somewhere around the 7 to 8 million at least. And the next name as well is Gordon, who a lot of people, teams, they've either got Palmer or Gordon. Some have both, but they don't often see both. But Gordon as well, from your team, Newcastle's been doing really well here. 8 assists, 9 goals, 17 goal involvements. Only marginally been overperforming by 3 goal involvements. And he's got 130 points. Palmer's got 142 points. Gordon's played 26 matches. So he is nailed on. He's so nailed on that there was talk that he was injured for months. And then he's just got a call up for England. He's absolutely fine again. So, I mean, I joke that it would be like Weekend at Bernie's. No matter what condition he is in, his rotting corpse would be dragged on the pitch by Eddie Howe. And somehow he would probably still score as well. Is Gordon fine to play now?
Well, that is pretty accurate. That sometimes gets said about Saka as well, the way Arteta would overplay him. And yeah, Gordon, as soon as Newcastle got a few injuries back, it was like a nice 3 or 4 days and then it started again. So Gordon, no matter what, as you say, even if he has to be dragged on, he will play. He loves a home goal, and Newcastle's next 2 games are at home.
Yep.
It's West Ham and former club Everton. So, you know, both at St. James's Park. So I'm sure Gordon will do something there. But beyond that, it's difficult because Newcastle are going to get a double, which has appeal. And there's Sheffield United at home. 35, that looks pretty good as well. And then Burnley after that, the fixtures look quite good for him. He's a fine option to keep in the squad. It's just, you know, having to make a decision between 2 or 3 really good players.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite good. There's a lot of players in this list here that are really cheap, and it's going to be really handy, especially for those looking to bench boost as well. Depending if the fixtures fall and you get Chelsea, Newcastle and Manchester United doubling in the same week. That brings the next name into contention. The final name we're going to mention is Garnacho, 4.9. Been in my team for ages, been on my bench for ages, so I've witnessed many a points haul on the bench for him. But he scored 5 goals, 5 assists. He will not be 4.9 next season. He's a total mainstay. He's pretty much bang on what he should have been doing in terms of his expected goal involvement. And he's got an extra game. God, we could get a really nice cheap midfield if the fixtures land right in a double game. It would be perfect for a bench boost. But I understand because they're Manchester United beat Liverpool, game week 34 double is not going to happen. It will be 37. I think we can pretty much lock him in for a 37 double game week, maybe.
Yeah, it seems to be like that. And despite that, I think his 34, even if it's a single game week, it could potentially be a very good one, because if it lands in a way that if the Sheffield United home game drops into 34,
yeah,
it's a single, yes, but yeah, it's a really good single.
Yeah, yes, because of course there are blank game weeks, but people, it's not a blank, it doesn't mean that a team won't play because these rearranged games go in there. It means they could have got a double, but they don't, so they've got a single. But it's just not the same single game week that we thought it was going to be against this match there. Okay, there's a lot of names there for people to consider. Obviously, we've only got five slots there, and a lot is going to depend on when the double game weeks land. But for whenever they do, hopefully this table should give those watching and listening food for thought in terms of the sort of players to bring in. So, for example, if Tottenham got a double game week, who you go for? Same for Newcastle with Gordon and remembering the players like Sarabia at Wolves as well, could be had in Eze. So it's good to see these figures here to sort of cement our opinion. But yeah, before we go, anything else you wanted to add about midfielders before we go?
Not entirely. I sort of see that as you say, got Garnacho. I'm excited to probably get him. I've been wanting to get him in there for a while. Since he started in game week 11, he started every match, and he's number two for box touches throughout the whole league. So he's brilliant. So yeah, I think going forward, it's going to be five out of Salah, Saka, Foden, Son, Palmer, Garnacho, probably. Maybe Sarabia.
Yeah.
Out of those seven, probably.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, as I said, Garnacho, I'm going to bench him again this week, Brentford, so I'm bracing myself. But if there's any injuries, obviously he'll come in. But yeah, that's the thing about going Garnacho. He's often a first sub and you miss out on those points anyway. But it is good to have him. Yeah. One of the reasons I got him in was actually an eye test thing, really. It was every time I see him play, he looks really cocky. Like, you know, those players that just look really full of himself. He just comes on the pitch. Attacking, he just looks like he is the man. But that's the player I want in my FPL team. I want really, it's all about scoring goals and assisting. I want really attacking, cocky players, basically.
Yeah, totally. It's great.
Yeah.
Good to see.
Just a final reminder to everyone to do press that like button. It does help us out. And also do subscribe so you can keep up to date with our videos and podcasts. And check out any latest membership offers at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk to get some tools and gadgets to help you climb up your mini leagues. In the meantime, thanks a lot for your time, Mark. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.